Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch's sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 42 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com, and we are celebrating Pokemon Day. It's Pokemon
Day. It is Pokemon Day.
That's all we have for you today.
That's it. See you later.
Yep. Well, good podcast,
We're going to go enjoy Pokemon Day. See y'all later. I am one of your hosts, Jim Biscardi, and as always, I am joined by Megan Peters and Christian Hoffer. Together, we make up the Triforce of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared.
Ooh, loving the Triforce reference.
Ooh.
Mixing things up a little bit.
If you are new to this show, show's broken up into three parts. We do a quick news at the in the first third or so, and we do a deep dive, and then Christian gives us a Pokemon fact of the week to make you a better, smarter Pokemon fan. This show is obviously about Pokemon, but there's a lot of things that have Pokemon in its name. And the good news is we cover all of it. Trading card game, mobile games, console games, toys.
Well-known celebrity Pokemon Jones.
Random celebrity Pokemon stuff.
Yeah. Also, most importantly, we cover the hat that Christian Hoffer is currently wearing. If you're watching the video of this.
We do offer this podcast as a video. There are a lot of people who like to listen to this on the audio. If you ever decide to check us out, you can see, one, what we look like, and two, you can see Christian's ridiculous hat.
Just give us like a very lush description of what's currently on your head.
So it is what happens when Squirtle attempts to get through that one part of The Last Crusade, Indiana Jones' Last Crusade, and he's supposed to bow, but he doesn't. So that's on my head. So you see his eyes, and then it kind of, his skin, I guess, comes
did
down.
Did you buy it? Or did someone
Is so that your this kids? This is a hand-me-down. So one of my good friends has now two grown-up daughters, and when she was like, oh, yeah, Christian, you and your child are super into Pokemon, so here, and they just gave me all this like vintage Pokemon stuff, including this hat, which was hand-knitted for her daughter. And my son doesn't like it because he has a Pikachu hat complete with like the ears that he wears all the time. So I figured I'd pull this, you know, homemade piece of Americana Pokemania stuff to celebrate Pokemon Day.
Are there mittens at the end of that?
Maybe there was at one point, but there's not anymore.
Dang.
I mean, this is like 20 years old.
True vintage. I hope everyone now just takes a second to see this.
Well, happy Pokemon Day, everybody. It's kind of crazy that one, when you look back at, you know, everything, one, Pokemon hasn't like a quote-unquote unofficial holiday, which is great. But over the last couple of years, Pokemon Company has really gotten invested in Pokemon Day with, you know, releases and events and things like that. And so it's been really fun, but, you know, the last couple of years to, well, I'd say get excited for Pokemon Day. But yeah, get excited for Pokemon Day. Some of the stuff we're getting today, I say today because
the day
this is
this
when
of
the day
release.
This Pokemon podcast shows up in your feeds.
Yeah.
We're recording it a day early. But I am excited to watch Mewtwo Strikes Back. An insane amount. Like, it is.
It's going. I mean, it's good. Just to let y'all know.
Here's the hard part, though. Thursday is the new release day for new episodes of Love is Blind. I am having a hard time determining which one I want to watch first.
If you are the literally one third of like the hosts here for this podcast and you don't pick Pokemon over the Love is Blind, it's time for you to join the pop culture podcast.
It's a very big episode. I'm very invested in it and I need to know who gets married and who doesn't. But anyway.
There's just no words. I'm taking Squirtle off.
That's how upset you've made him.
I am very curious to see, one, if Netflix or the Pokemon Company put out any numbers as far as like how many people go to watch Mewtwo Strikes Back, because traditionally this would have been a Fathom Events kind of thing. They would have sold tickets to it and whatnot. And so, well, is Pokemon losing money, or is Netflix losing money, or is everyone going to be happy because everyone's going to flood to the service to watch it?
I can state that Pokemon's not losing money from this.
Oh, right. Sure.
You know, Pokemon was paid by Netflix,
but
you know, and it would have been
Is that amount more than what they thought they could have? I mean, obviously, it would have to be for the reason why they chose Netflix.
Yeah, that's just a pretty obvious business decision. Netflix offered them more than what Fathom could.
Right, but let's say a ton of people go to watch it. Like, will the Pokemon Company be like, oh, crap, we charged too little?
I feel like that's probably not going to end up happening, because if we think of the nostalgia play here, especially with Mewtwo Strikes Back, as opposed to, like, so many of the other films, this is the remake, the 3D CG remake of the most financially lucrative Pokemon movie that's ever been released. and it really hits at all the nostalgic heartstrings of fans who are in their adulthood versus kids who are, you know, in between, and then little kids. I mean, it hits at every point. So I think that they're really banking on not only getting a bunch of viewership, maybe more so than expected, and I think definitely more so that they would have gotten with Fathom, but also it's going to stay on Netflix for presumably a bit, unless, you know, the licensing issues come off and it gets taken off of Netflix like everything is these days. it'll be able to accrue more and more viewers, and hopefully that'll get them down the rabbit hole of being like, oh, I remember this movie that I watched like in 1999. I'm going to watch this one. Oh, I really like Pokemon. I forgot how much I liked it. I'm going to go buy stuff.
Is the original on Netflix? Can you watch the original anywhere outside of like buying it?
I mean, this is probably only like limited to like Amazon, iTunes, stuff like that. We have discussed in previous episodes Pokemon's general aversion to streaming and having digital access to stuff. But I mean, it's accessible. But I'm curious to see like the kind of runoff nature of when this movie debuts. Will there be an overall kind of lift in the interest of Pokemon? Because this is such a vital nostalgia play to the franchise that can get people reinvested in the franchise who maybe haven't been since like 2000. Super pumped for that. Also, it's a great movie. And also, they're going to have obviously an English dub, which we've known, but from everything we've been able to tell, they will also have the original Japanese dub, which the Fathom Events screenings never showed. And like a bunch of like hardcore Pokemon fans, like Christian always talks about the hardcore Pokemon Go fans, a bunch of the hardcore Pokemon anime fans have always wanted that original Japanese English, like, I mean, the Japanese like dialogue and audio, and they're finally going to get it. And I think
this might be like the first official subtitled Pokemon thing we've gotten
ever. Yeah, like that's like I literally was like realizing that, and I was like, this literally breaks a milestone. Like, this is a record. Like, my gosh. So I'm very excited to see that. I saw the Japanese version that was subtitled at the premiere, and it was great. So now I'm interested to see the English dub.
So the thing that I'm really curious about, because last night I did a little bit of digging, and this coming week, I believe, either this week or next week, is the finale of Pokemon Sun and Moon on Disney XD. And since they only send out schedules, you only get your schedules 2 weeks in advance, I am incredibly curious to see if they'll start doing the next Pokemon anime.
Because right into it.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. Usually we've always gotten the announcement by now. Like, I did my research, and it's always been, for the last two cycles, they've announced it, like, third week of February. We're in the fourth week of February. No announcement. What's going on with the Pokemon anime?
We're either getting it tomorrow, or we're getting the announcement it's going elsewhere. One or the other. Something's going to happen.
What else can people do on Pokemon Day, Christian? Anything else exciting?
No, not really.
Oh, good.
There's the new mythical Pokemon that we'll have full coverage about tomorrow. There will be some special max raid battles, which go live at midnight. So those will be live by the time this airs. So those will be available. No one knows.
Oh, okay.
So it could be anything. There's that. And Pokemon Go is currently, at the time of recording, having their Pokemon Go festivities, which have all the clone Pokemon, the armored Mewtwo, and a bunch of party hat Pokemon all running about in the wild for you to catch.
The clone Pokemon looks so good. Yes. I'm sorry. I saw a pop-up on my Twitter, and I was looking for some news to write about, and I saw it just, like, briefly flash, and I went to go scroll up, and the worst thing happens, like, when your Twitter automatically refreshes.
Oh, yeah. You're like, I can't find it.
It automatically refreshed, so my entire timeline was messed up, and so it was me panicking. I was like, where is this person? I don't know who this person was who tweeted this picture, and then I realized I could probably just search Pokemon Go, and I'd find it, and then I did. It looks so good. Like, I didn't want to let myself believe it was going to happen. I thought Niantic was going to, like, mess something up. But they look good.
The thing that I like about it is that they have the Community Day moves, which, you know, are, like, the super relevant, like, good for the metagame moves. And so, like, if you beat them in raids, you get these strong, powerful clone Pokemon that you can actually use in, like, PvP and gyms and raids and stuff, which I think is awesome. So this isn't just, like, Party Hat Pokemon, where you get the Party Hat Pokemon. It's like, okay, cool, you take up a permanent spot in my collection.
Yep.
Awesome.
I feel like my favorite thing is everyone's like, oh, yeah, like, Venusaur, Blastoise, everyone, let's hate on Charizard. Charizard gets the worst rep
it's because
in the Pokemon fan.
50... billion Charizard forms.
I know,
but I feel like
of any form we should be celebrating, it should be clone Charizard.
Yes,
he was
yes.
OG original variant that Let we me... loved with all of our heart, but everyone's so tired of him now. Everyone's just like, Charizard. And I'm like, he's the coolest one of this, but I can't say it because then everyone will hate me. So everyone who's listening to this right now is probably like rolling their eyes, but
yep.
Look at Charizard again.
I'm literally rolling my eyes.
Take off your prejudice blinds. He looks cool like that.
One of my favorite things that I saw recently on Reddit was someone posted the X-Men The Animated Series meme where it's Scott and Jean making out and Wolverine looking dejectedly. And so it was like the Pokemon Company and Charizard, and then Wolverine was the other 889 Pokemon. And I was like, oh, that's relatable content right there.
I just feel bad for Charizard. He's always gotten a little bit of a bad rep.
He's going to cry into his, like, 15 alternate forms.
True. You're not wrong.
I can't wait for him to get, like, a second, you know, Gigantamax form here with the...
Oh, God, it would be so
great. With the TLC, and people will just lose it. Just absolutely start flipping tables.
I'm excited to catch Clone Charizard. That's that.
Good luck. Good luck to you.
Looks like we may be getting a new Jinx form.
Jinx form.
An evolution.
A Jinx evolution.
Yeah.
So this one is kind of like the most interesting like Pokemon, like true Pokemon news to come out this week. So we're kind of in this like lull between like, okay, Pokemon Home's has come out now, and now we wait for the DLC. But someone decided to do a data mine, and they found a strange cry in Pokemon Home's audio files. And it sounds like what a regional evolution version of Jinx would sound like. So the regional evolutions all have very distinctive cries, which mm-hmm. they basically sound like distorted versions of their pre-evolved
form. Their
normal
cry, yep.
Yeah, so, and there's a Jinx one, which means we're either getting one or there was a Jinx form and they cut it at the last moment. Could be either one. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see, but, you know... Could be getting some more new forms besides Galarian Slowpoke and its evolutions here
could
in
it,
the DLC.
Could it just not be like a Gigantamax Jinx?
Well, some people thought it might be that, but if you take a look at the pattern, the distortion matches that of like Obstagoon, Mr. Rhyme, Berserker, Yamask Evolution, which I'm Confagious?
Yes.
Yeah, that one. So, you know, so it just doesn't, or Rune Fangorous. Confagorous is the normal one. Anyways, I butchered those names. So it doesn't quite match up with what Gigantamax sounds like. It's a different kind of distortion. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of interesting. So we could be seeing a new Jinx.
I mean, I'm putting my bets in that the Jinx will show up in the Tundra DLC.
I mean, that would make the most amount of sense. I mean, and it kind of makes sense in the way that, you know, Mr. Mime and Jinx are kind of like those, like, related Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And so it did seem a little bit weird that, like, Mr. Mime got, like, a form and an evolution, but no Jinx.
It's like oddly humanoid, but not really humanoid.
Mm. Yeah. Well, they've always been like kind of like tied together.
Yeah.
You know, back before, like, I think the Pokemon franchise knew what they were doing with genders. You know, mm-hmm. I think like Mr. Mime and Jinx were always supposed to be kind of like
paired, but
opposite. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm going
to
be...
Instead, Mr. Mime fell in love with Ash's mom. And
true.
Had no one to love.
I mean, here's the thing that I think we're missing a major, major opportunity. We haven't decided what form of dance this Jinx will do.
No,
it would probably be maybe it would be like the Irish jig. So we've got some of the tapping. I would say hula because that's what she's kind of like doing originally.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I'm gonna go with Irish jig. I think she's gonna have like bright red hair. That's kind of curly, still purple skin, but yeah, she's going to be Irish Jiggin, and then she's going to evolve into Merida from...
Yeah. I want it to basically be like, I can't even think of it, it's like that, like, the Irish women or Scottish women show that goes around, like, the United States every other year, and it's like, they just do, like, the Irish step dancing, and then they...
River dance?
Yes, river dance! I want it to river dance more than I can even tell you, because I don't understand how that would work anatomically with Jinx.
She doesn't have feet.
Exactly. She's going to have feet in this one. Like, they're going to, lift up her skin, and there's going to be feet there.
Because so. It's not a dress, it's actually skin.
I know, it's not a dress.
I forgot!
It's skin. That's horrifying. They're gonna have like it's gonna she will have evolved for her love of dance, so her skin will have shortened down there.
She grew legs.
I do not regret this conversation. I say river dance, and you guys can pitch your own. But
oh my gosh,
I think we all know who the real winner is here.
Well, it would make sense because like Mr. Rhymes. Hat is not a hat, right?
Oh God, no, it's not.
They're plush.
It's part of his head. Oh, why?
He literally evolved with tap dance feet. He doesn't wear tap dancing shoes. He wears tap dancing feet.
He's got little fleshy like his what? His what buttons? Are the like?
Yeah,
yeah. His buttons are like nipples. They're actually like nipples. Oh, his belly pants. Button is his belt buckle. Oh God. Oh, I'm horrified.
Now I need to pull up a picture.
I'm so glad that I brought this up, if not just to see the existential crisis that Hawk is having right now.
I always forget that, like, Mr. Mime is fleshy. I always forget that, and it terrifies me every time.
He is just a being full of flesh.
Is his mustache hair? I mean, it's not, right?
No, if you touched his mustache, it would feel like a football.
Yeah.
100% would feel like a football.
Do you think that, like, when people, like, when Mr. Rhyme first came into being, like, do you think there was, like, a dedicated, like, this truly is an abomination? We must kill it. And, like, people went through the fields with, like, flamethrowers, just trying to wipe them out from the existence.
These, no,
like,
of course
fleshy,
not.
Like,
I'm sure,
I
like,
gotta
a couple
that...
people did, but they died, so it's okay.
I just don't understand. If how so in Bulbapedia for Mr. Rhyme, the gender ratio is 50-50.
No, that's got
that's wrong, right? It has to got be.
I would be shocked if that were
egg group, human-like.
Human-like.
Well, yeah, that's
distinctly
that's
hate that description. But that's why Jinx is gonna have to lift up their skin so they can have their own little feet dancing around.
So here's the crazy thing. Yeah, Cerebi also says it's 50-50, but Mr. Mime is 100%, right? Right? Yeah.
I
nope.
Don't know nope. that nope. actually.
Mr. Mime's 50-50?
Yeah, that's what it says. No, they're all 50-50s.
I feel like I've only just caught though, like male.
Yes, oh my God, yeah. Yeah, nope, this is well known. Oh my God, I'm just...
Well, hey, you're about to get two fun facts freaking... for the day. Listen, Hopper, teach us.
Why are they called Mr. Mime? And, like, Jinx is 100% female.
Antiquated gender stereotypes and terminology.
I mean, yeah, that's... Gender is just a construct, so,
that's
you know.
That's the problem.
Oh my gosh.
This is getting very deep, and I'm very appreciative of it.
This is the weirdest Pokemon podcast we've had yet.
We have
Jinx
derailed.
Is 100% 100% female, by the way.
Good, good. So Jinx can do the Riverwalk women
you
choir
know what?
Thing.
Honestly, good for Mr. Mime.
Right?
Like, good for them. Like, you know, they choose their, apparently they're choosing their.
What if the Jinx evolution identity is 100% male, yeah, Ingolar? And like, that's, you have to like, oh, bring them together.
Oh no.
Come on. You know I'm right.
Wow. That would
be, male, oh my river God, dancing Jinx. Give it
can
to
you
me.
Can you imagine like the angry YouTubing that would go on if that were to happen? Just a bunch of like angry.
Well, no, it, like, it wouldn't be able to because this is an evolution, right?
But, that, you know, Azumarill can change genders when, mm-hmm, it evolves. So there's precedent,
there is
for it. Oh my God, I kind of hope this happens. I just want to see, like, you know,
imagine
the people.
Everyone with me. Jinx, butt male, also river dancing through the tundra of Galar.
It's
Michael beautiful.
Flattery from, like, you know, like, it's the Lord of the Dance, Jinx.
I would love it.
Oh,
that's
God,
all I'm going to say.
Great.
All right. Well, we got to keep moving because
what is even going on today?
On the trading card front, some pretty cool news. We're getting a new expansion pack called Rebel Clash.
Yep.
Not read my handwriting there for a second. But in a future expansion, we are getting a new type of rare card. Get ready for the name. An Amazing Rare. What a dumb name.
It'll probably get changed for like the actual English release. You know, that's just the Japanese translation. So these ones are pretty cool. We don't have really a solid idea of like how powerful these cards are, but they're supposed to have very powerful attacks. But unlike GX cards and EX cards and V cards and VMAX cards, you only take one prize when they're knocked out. So they're deliberately OP cards, but they're amazingly rare.
As I say, are these we're expecting the ratio on these to be?
No one knows. Like
one, they're only going to print one.
So
imagine.
So the speculation right now is how it's being timed. You know, recently they've been doing these like holiday exclusive releases, where it's like we had like Shining Legends last year, and we've had like a couple of like sets like those where. They think that these are going to be tied to that. Although that's just, you know, speculation on the TCG front. So who knows? But, you know, this will be interesting. More rare cards, you know, coming to the franchise. I guess they need to make up somehow because they did such a drastic slash in the number of, like, secret rares and, like, full art cards and all that stuff in the main sets. They needed to, like, get the secondary market going somehow.
I would love for them to do a, like, Willy Wonka type, you know, golden ticket kind of thing where just like you just gotta open a bunch of packs and if they're scattered across the world and you get something,
you get one and it's like a god card from Yu-Gi-Oh.
It's basically Exodia, but you don't need all five right, cards, you just need one. And that's just it,
straight
just
up so for the I sky win. Serpent.
How much fun would that be to like to cover that and or whatever? Like,
I would
love a lot of fun.
I would love it. Also, I'd go broke. Like, please stop.
Yeah, no, I think that would be, it would be interesting. You know what I think would be cool, though? You know how in baseball cards, they do these, like, jersey giveaways?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you know, they have, like, little pieces of the jersey. I would like that, only with pieces of Mr. Mime.
Oh, God.
I hated everything about that conversation. Let's be
All right, let's, before we get to our deep dive, Toy Fair was last weekend, and the Pokemon God. Company came, like, they showed up.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
With a number of different things. Obviously, a lot of a bunch more Funko popped up with, okay, well, we need
the weirdest ensemble.
It's like,
there's
one big standout here who really, like, one of these things is not like the other.
One of these
now,
things
before
is not
we
like
continue,
the other.
Before we continue, I do have to note that recently somebody from the Funko company followed us on Twitter. So they're clearly listening to this. So I am going to be very positive and upbeat about the Funkos in order to, you know, make sure that we don't lose out on any future Funko things. So yay, Funko. I love those soulless eyes.
Hoffer, they clearly like, didn't follow the podcast because of you.
Square heads, I just think are
it.
Awesome.
Right. Okay. Megan and I do our fair share of
they clearly
of the Funko love
looked
here.
Into my house and saw my literal Pokemon yeah. Funko shrine in
okay.
my bedroom.
But let's talk about this for a second.
Mm-hmm.
So of the ones that they released, we got Cubone. Pretty cool. Yes.
Makes
pretty
sense.
Cool. We all got right. another cool looking Pikachu, yep. which I thought was very nice.
Yes.
Yep. Pissed off Pikachu.
Yep. I forget what some of the other ones
were. Wasn't Growlithe one?
Oh, yeah, Growlithe. Growlithe, good Kin, choice. Mm-hmm. And then there's Rattata.
Rattatat.
Why? Who is going to the store and be like, ah, that's the one I want? When anyone who's played Pokemon knows that they have spent the majority of their lives running away from them because they don't want to catch them.
I'm willing to bet if I did an audit of comicbook.com employees, there would probably be at least three people who have them pre-ordered.
Rattata?
Yeah.
Or whatever?
Like,
no,
the completionists. I'm sure, like, BD and Matt and probably secretly Megan. Megan is going to, like, you know, be bad-mouthing it, and then she's going to, like, she's actually got it, like, sent to, like, a dummy location. And she's going to show up with the disguise and bring it and secretly put it. It's going to be...
Sure, but completists aside, like, who's going to Target to be like,
I'm going to be totally honest.
Jim, you could say that about literally 95% of the Funkos they release.
No, I mean, not true.
Yes, yes, you can't. They're making a Ninja Funko.
You know what?
You just mean Funko in general. I'm talking about the Pokemon.
Yeah.
We're talking specifically Pokemon. We're talking about Hopper.
The Pokemon line, to me, up until this point, has been very well curated. Oh, right. And there's the Mewtwo,
Mr. Mime. Yeah. Well, it just got Funko'd. You know, they realize there's 890 characters and they need to start printing these things out before Pokemon changes their mind.
But Rattata?
But I have to say this. The reason that I am interested in getting the Rattata is because I think it would be hilarious with, like, my friends who all really like Pokemon and feel the frustration all three of us have felt about running away from them is like basically setting up elaborate pranks in our apartment and our their
just
houses.
Like waking up and just finding a ton of Rattata on your front yard.
That's literally what I'm planning on doing. Like, my boyfriend will listen to this, but my plan is to have the Rattata and like randomly place it around our house.
Like, so like to, he wait has for them to go on clearance away. And just buy a whole bunch of
put it in the shower, bedside table. In the cabinet when he goes to get potato chips. Like, they keep popping up. That's why I want it, because I'm going to elaborately prank them.
I'm going to join up for the comicbook.com Secret Santa, and I'm just going to give whoever I get a Rattata Funko. Like, doesn't matter who. Like, it could be one of the pop culture people. They're getting a Rattata. That's just all there is to it.
Is Rattata, like, basically the coal of the Pokemon? It is the coal.
Here's the thing. Would you rather a Caterpie or a Rattata?
I mean, I would take a Caterpie.
Sure. That's an iconic Pokemon.
That's an iconic Pokemon.
I would take Butterfree.
Weedle. Or Rattata.
Still taking Rattata. If it looks like a bug, I'm probably not going to want it. Just to be honest.
I would probably take Rattata or Power of the Rat Pokemon.
Pidgey over Rattata.
Pidgey. Definitely Pidgey.
Oh, Pidgey. For sure,
that's
Pidgey.
That's a no-brainer.
Pidgey all the way.
Magikarp or Rattata?
Magikarp.
I own like four Magikarp things.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Why Rattata?
Because I feel like they're hoping people
you know
like
what I
me
really
are
want?
Prank us.
You know what the one you know
they
what,
probably
the one
just
really
took the Mickey
to?
Mouse sculpt and just like changed a couple of things.
I'm looking forward to like a Scyther pop will look pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's gonna be like a New York Comic Con exclusive.
I need a Gengar one.
That they can make translucent. Oh
that
yeah.
That will be GameStop exclusive.
I want the Haunt. I've always loved how Haunter looks.
I don't even know how Haunter would work. It's got detached hands.
They'll just put like a little clear detached hand.
They'll attach it to the body.
Would they?
Yeah, they.
I don't know how Funko's work.
Like with the Marvel, with the Marvel like pops when they're flying, they just have like a clear plastic stand that holds them up.
Do you think they're going to do like a Stone Ash one these days?
Oh god, that would be amazing.
They did
a dying Tony Stark.
It's true.
I mean, they did like Daenerys Targaryen committing genocide, you know, so I assume that's coming.
The one thing I never, and just the total side tangent of our third tangent of the Toy Fair thing, is Haunter, they show him so big, size-wise, and then when he evolves into Gengar, he like shrinks.
Well, that's because he like takes a more solid form.
I figured that why, and it's all of his evilness condensed into just one tubby
body.
He's
like he's becoming less and less gaseous as he evolves. You know, that's my fan theory. Yes, as a leading Pokemonologist. You know.
Perfect.
All right. We're going to take a break, but when we get back, we are going to talk about a huge upset in the international tournament when we get back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Seven-year-old champion is the dream we all had as kids.
She's literally Ash Ketchum. Like, she already beat him.
She's better than Ash Ketchum. Yeah. Like, she's already a champion. It took Ash like 20 years. He would be in like the Masters division by now.
So the Oceania International Tournament happened, and seven-year-old Simone Lim beat last year's champion and this year's number one seed.
So there's a couple of things that make this incredibly impressive. For one thing, the junior division is one of two divisions where there's like they're kind of like semi-open aged. So the Masters division is for like anyone who's, I think, like 17 or 18 or older or something like that. Or maybe it's 16, I forget. But, you know, there's one that's like, if you're older than this, you're automatically in this division. And the junior division is anyone younger than 12. So, like, you know, my son could join the junior tournament if they wanted to. So Simone was playing somebody who was nearly twice her age. So, you know, like, and that's like a big difference. Like, yeah. You know, it's one thing for like a 20-year-old to be playing a 40-year-old. You know, it's entirely different when a 7-year-old and a 12-year-old play. And so this match came down. She was the 7th seed. She made it to the finals against the number one overall seed who had gone undefeated to this point. She took the first one. And in the second match, it came down to a 2-on-1 where Simone had a very heavily injured Tyranitar. And so her opponent figured, I'll just play this safe. I'm going to protect one of my Pokemon, and then I'm going to blast, you know, and then I'll take out her Tyranitar next turn. And she correctly figured out which one of her two Pokemon, which one of her opponent's Pokemon she would pick. And like the crowd realized what was going on and just absolutely started losing it.
Yeah, the reaction of like watching that, people are legit. I have never seen a kid be so like instantly adopted by every single adult in the room. Like yeah. Everyone in that room was immediately like, this is my kid. Oh my God. Like I was like so proud of her. And she was so nonchalant about it too. Like she was literally just like, eh.
Yeah, she had this great comment. Like they were interviewing her and they're like, yeah, so how did you figure out that that your opponent was going to protect Rhyperior? She's like, oh, I just knew he was going to pick Rhyperior. So I attacked the other one. It was just like, oh, okay, Simone, thanks. It's like, well, just absolutely, she's just a boss. She was so happy. She was like holding her Eevee plush like the entire time, mm-hmm. like during it's just great. Like, I really hope it got a lot of like, you know, esports is weird just in general.
Yep.
Like, you know, there's a segment of the gaming populace that's very committed to it and good for them. But it doesn't always get a lot of like mainstream cross exposure. And like within that esports thing, like Pokemon is a very tiny segment of mm-hmm. it. Like mm-hmm. no one pays attention to competitive Pokemon except for people who actually follow competitive Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
But this list, like everyone was covering it. Like, you know, people actually cared. So like she's like literally the new face of the franchise in competitive Pokemon now.
Yeah.
Like, it's awesome.
Pikachu, who needs Pikachu when they have Smoke? Come on.
Do we think this helps grow Pokemon esports, or is this a kind of just, you know, blip in the wind, a cool thing that happened, but it is what it is?
It's a blip in the wind.
It probably is a blip in the wind, but I do think that stuff like this, the competitive Pokemon scene has been growing, especially with the release of Sun and Moon. Like every tournament is like reporting just like number, you know, record breaking numbers. So I do think that this will be like another instance of people seeing it going, oh yeah, competitive Pokemon, this is a thing that I can do, and then jump in. Because, I mean, it is easier than ever.
Yes.
I mean, that's the great thing about competitive Pokemon. All you gotta do is you finish the game, and then you don't need to worry about IVs anymore. I mean, you have to worry about them, but, you know, you don't have to do the entire, like, crazy breeding stuff. It's so much easier. You don't have to worry about, like, you know, egg moves aren't, like, you know, that much of a thing anymore. It's just a lot easier to come up with a competitive team that's really cool. And, like, it's just a lot easier. And
because,
like,
it becomes more about the strategy than it does about the individual Pokemon who are potentially on your team.
Yeah. The amount of time it takes into crafting a good team is now far less. So, you know, it used to be that you're kind of like, well, unless I'm going to commit, like, another 60 hours, this is the team I'm riding and dying with. Now, it's a lot easier to, like, you know, it pays to be more nimble now. And, like, I think a lot of people want to see that stuff because, like, when the metagame is stagnant, it sucks. But, like, right now, it's kind of, like, shifting constantly. Like, a lot of new people, you know, there's weird things that you would have never thought to see. I mean, you know.
Well, and there's, like, Pokemon being added to teams that you never thought you would see.
Yeah.
You know, because of these changes, which is, like, that's the thing. Like, whenever you look at, you know, roster, you know, lineups and on the competitive scene, you see a lot of the same. And then there's always a couple that just kind of stand out, especially, you know, for whoever's on whoever wins and whatnot. There's always one or two Pokemon that you're like, oh, I never would have thought to put that one on my team.
Well, no, and, like, I feel like how they set it up this year. So, like, you know, this year, the metagame is constantly shifting because certain Gigantamax Pokemon aren't allowed to be used until the events where, like, everyone can get a Gigantamax Pokemon is involved. So, like, that metagame is constantly shifting. So, like, as more and more Gigantamax Pokemon come into play, you have to start thinking about, okay, what do I do to counter these specific Gigantamax Pokemon? And then, you know, they've already left out the legendary Pokemon. So next year, you know, you'll be able to bring in these Gigantamax and Dynamax killers, and then you'll have to start to come up with counters for that. That's not even counting whatever the heck we're going to see in the DLC stuff.
Right.
You know, so that's going to be huge. I mean, so it's going to be, the competitive Pokemon is in a good place, and I really hope that the Pokemon company invests a little bit more. And, you know, they, you know, we're saying, like, hey, you know, competitive Pokemon is just kind of, like, off there to the side. And it is. But, I mean, the Pokemon company does a very good job of presenting it. Like, you know, they actually, like, you know, the stages all look gorgeous. You know, now that it's on the Switch, you know, the graphics for competitive Pokemon looks better than ever. I mean, that's one thing that's always
nice to watch competitive Pokemon now.
Like the 3DS was always like, oh, here's a blown up version of the potato screen.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh God, like, this looks terrible.
Yeah.
So at least now we're in, like, HD. So, like, I really feel like it's time for the Pokemon company just to invest a little bit more money. You know, because they've done some weird things with how they do the regional tournaments and how they do that. So, you know, if they pump a little bit more prize money into it, make it so that I don't think we're ever going to get, like, full-time, like, competitive Pokemon players or any nonsense like that. And that's a good thing, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
But I do think they can grow the scene. And Simone can be the catalyst for some of that. Like, I think they should start investing more in those, like, younger leagues and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now everyone just watches Masters, which is, like, the, you know, for the adult league. And, you know, I think that's a little bit kind of disappointing because Pokemon, it's a game for kids.
Want to give us the Pokemon fact of the week?
Yes. So this week isn't as much a Pokemon fact of the week. It's debunking a fake Pokemon fact of the week. You know, we're about to drop some real knowledge here. So there's a longtime rumor that Venonat and Caterpie's final evolutions were for some reason switched around. So you take a look at Venonat and Butterfree, there's some, like, similarities, especially compound eyes, the color, and then you take a look at Caterpie and Venomoth and Butterfree and Venonat. So there's some, like, similarities. So people are like, oh yeah, they got switched. That is 100% false. In fact, you know, thanks to the data mines that have been done on the betas that were leaked here in the last couple of years, we know that Venonat was placed into the game long before any of the other Pokemon. Venonat was originally intended to be its own Pokemon, just, like, no evolutionary line. Eventually, they added Venomoth as its evolution. That's part of the reason why they look so, you know, different. And we've seen stuff like that. Like, Ivysaur was originally its own Pokemon. Blastoise was originally not related to Squirtle. And then the Caterpie line in its entirety were all added at the same time, meaning that it was always intended to be that. So when someone says, oh, Venomoth was originally supposed to be Caterpie's final evolution, you can slap them in the face and say, no, you're wrong.
We do not condone physical violence on this podcast. Also, I never once thought that in my life, that they were connected. I don't know.
As someone who, like, researches these Pokemon facts like weekly, before I just like gave up and said, you know what, we're just going down the Pokedex, I used to look for them, and the Venonat, the Caterpie Venonat stuff was always on those like Poke trivia you should know, and so it ended up being totally completely false. So don't believe everything you read on the internet, only believe things that you hear from Christian R. Hoffer.
Also bad advice, gonna be honest.
It's the best advice. I speak nothing but truths and facts.
All right, well.
Speaking of things that you can read, because it is Pokemon Day.
Yes.
Oh. We would read
some reviews for the podcast.
Oh,
if
boy.
You love this show and you want an opportunity to get some free comicbook.com swag, all you got to do is head on over to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, and if we read them on the air, like we're about to do right now, we'll send you a t-shirt. All you have to do is, if you hear your review read, email editor@comicbook.com with the username and your whatever your review was, and we'll get your address out and send it out. Yeah.
And so, if you have questions, you apparently come to me. I have, every once in a while, I will get a DM from somebody saying, hey, where's my t-shirt? I'm like, let me go and bug Jim about it.
Yeah, feel free. Bean Hoffer would love to bug Jim about it.
I literally had to bug Jim until I got a shirt. Yep. So I will do it on your behalf.
So we'll start with 14, Mudkip 14. This one is simple, but Pokemon fans are going to get it. The headline is just awesome. And he goes, I tried to come up with a complaint, but nothing happened.
Love those Pokemon references.
All right. Now, this one's from Jeff SJ. I'm a fan of the Pokemon series, and I have followed numerous Pokemon podcasts over the years. You can tell that the crew at comicbook.com care about the franchise. One of the best aspects is the fact that they cover all things Pokemon. It isn't only about games, but also the TCG, anime, and Pokemon Go. I highly recommend giving this one a shot. Thank you. Thank you. This one is from Nicholas Schober. I have only recently gotten into listening to podcasts, and this is the first one I have truly enjoyed. After I discovered this podcast, I found myself binging all the older episodes because they make listening to Pokemon news so much fun. They cover literally everything that's happening in the Pokemon world, and I have yet to listen to an episode where I did not learn something. The cast are all amazing people, and I can't wait to listen to new episodes every week.
Well, thank you very much. Nope.
P.S. Oh. I've always loved Geodude's look from the original games. Vaporeon is the best of the original evolutions, and one of my favorites in Pokemon Go. Bulbasaur, well, he exists.
Send him a Rattata Funko. Send him a Rattata Funko.
Oh, that was
that brought joy to my heart.
Oh, I'm flipping my table, like figuratively.
Dang. Bulba hate.
That is the best way to end this episode. I could not think of a better way to end this one.
I saw that review a couple weeks ago, and I was like, Jim is gonna throw this in my face. Jim is going to, I just knew it. I knew it was gonna happen. I almost thought about reporting it as spam. No, I would never do that. Thank you very much.
Oh, for sure.
If you are new to the show, tell your friends about it. Tell anyone, you know, if you're in a group that plays the trading card game, or if you have some friends with, you know, that play the console games, tell them about the show. The more people that come to listen, the, you know, more that we can grow this audience, the better and cooler things we can do. I've thought about starting to just renaming Pokemon that I catch in Sword and Shield to A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, and just started sending them off as surprise trades.
And then you realize that you only have like 12 figures to, you know, 12 characters.
Yeah. But, you know, it was a good idea. Anyway, new episodes of this podcast are wherever podcasts can be found. iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, you name it, we're there every Thursday. I almost forgot the day that these come out. Every Thursday, sometime in the morning. Generally, probably, you know, if you're a commuter person, we try and get it out while you're doing that. Thanks for just sticking around. this late as we have gone off. I've forgotten the words to end this show.
The best part of a podcast is when you go on a tangent.
Really,
you just got to let it go.
This was just like tangent episode. Like that's we should just rename it like the tangent episode.
Yeah, if you want to talk about us, tell us what your favorite Pokemon are. You can find me at Jim Viscardi on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter at Megan Peters CB,
and I'm at C Hoffer C Bus.
So until next time, we will catch you then. Talk to you later, folks.